is by my side. Or valley dark and deep. Father, we want to thank you again for honoring our gathering with your presence. We thank you for all you're doing in, through, and for us. What you are preparing us to showcase to the world, what it truly means to be a child of God and a blessing to humanity. As we share your word now, I pray for fresh anointing and unction. Help me to speak as I should as an oracle of God. Unravel your wisdom from your word. Unbundle it through me. Let it flow into every heart, causing our wills to be more humble, minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, emotions to be more tempered and controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. We further pray that as I speak, the power of the Spirit of God will release in great measure to back and follow these words wherever they are heard and released in all the earth. Power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes and free men, so that they will become doers of what they hear, and not hearers only. We also pray for mercy to be faithful, that I will deliver this word with precision, redeem the time, and say only what you want me to say, bringing out the pressure of this word, things new and old, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. My soul. I have an important message I believe God wants me to share with us today. It's something that's been in my heart. Not just for us here, but for the church. And I've entitled it, God's Yoke is Easy. Everybody say, God's Yoke is Easy. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 11. What I'm going to share and what I am sharing, and actually this has been a theme for many weeks. It's been a recurring theme in our messages. There's a strong emphasis of the Holy Spirit on God's people learning how to walk with God by His grace and mercy. And I want to drop it with us this afternoon as you go into the week. So in the light of the things that God has shared with us today on God is faithful and the fact that He will not allow you to be tempted above what you're able to bear. He will make a way of escape. And also what we've just learned about the grace of giving. Let me make a comment on the side. Before I just read the scripture, what is the purpose of life? You know, often we plan our lives, or let me put it this way, we have ambitions. You know, I want to go to school, I want to become a doctor, I want to become a lawyer, I want to become an engineer, and so on and so forth. And I want to excel. I want to make money. I want to live what is known in the world as a successful life. But is that all? No. Life is only successful, ultimately, when it is dedicated to God and His purposes. So that you become a channel of blessing to the people and the society around you. As we do that, we automatically become a witness to that society. The Lord Jesus said it this way. I cannot put it in a better way. He said it symbolically, but you know, it's the implication is wonderful. He said, "If I be lifted up," he said, "I will draw all men unto me." How is he going to be lifted up? Through you and I. See, if I elevate God by my life, my righteousness, my integrity, my love, my kindness, my generosity, he will draw men unto himself. If the corollary is true, which is if he's not drawing men unto himself, it's because we're not lifting him up. Or should we say it this way? The degree to which we lift him up is the degree to which he will draw men unto himself. Mum was given testimony about that Al-Haji. He was the chairman of that parent-teacher association where we went to give to that school. He started saying, "Hallelujah, in Jesus' name." The principal was saying, "Ah!" He never knew that Al-Haji can say such a thing. What did we do? By the mercy and the grace of God, we just lifted him up a little bit. Draw men unto you. So I want to speak to us about his yoke is easy. I've entitled it God's Yoke is Easy. I preached this many, many years ago. I even wrote a book on it. But of course, we're going to preach it now with fresh and increased revelation and understanding. Let's all read verses 11, Matthew 11, verses 28, 29, and 30. And read deliberately after me. Say, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Stop. Who is he talking to? He's not talking to sinners. This scripture has been applied as an evangelistic scripture to people in the world who you are laboring and you are heavy laden, and if you come to Jesus, just give you rest. There's a truth in that. But if you read it contextually, you find Jesus wasn't talking to sinners. He was talking to Christians. He was talking to zealous, dedicated, committed Christians who are laboring for God. And they're finding the labor difficult. They're finding the burden to be heavy. You find that, and this is common, you know. Oh, do this, what I was talking about during the Bible study. Pray, you know, and all that. We find it heavy. Find it labor. You know, can I do this? What we're just talking about now, the grace of giving. Okay, by the time I do this and I do that and I do this, can I handle that? The truth about the matter is that you can, if you will do it God's way. Verse 29. He says, "Take my yoke upon you." Turn to neighbor and say, "His yoke, not your own." "And learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls." That explains the rest he was talking about in verse 28. Contextually, that rest does not mean inactivity. What it means is you're doing all the things you're doing for God by the power of the Holy Spirit, so that in your soul, which is your mind, your will, and your emotions, there is calm, there is peace, there is rest. You're not under any kind of agitation and stress. You can be working and working peacefully. And you can be working and working under stress. God doesn't want that for us. This is one of the most difficult statements in the Bible to believe if you've been a Christian for some time. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, we all know from experience that that is not always the case in our dealings in the things of God. I was listening to some men of God, you know, and about men of, you know, I was looking back at some of the old timers, people like Charles Finney, Father Nash, David Brenner, Evan Roberts, and some of these great men that God used. And in some of the accounts that you hear them, you know, carrying a great burden for the Lord, some of them dying, you know, when they were very young, you know, and, you know, this particular person who he had tuberculosis, he would be kneeling down in the snow, praying and praying and praying, and he would be spitting out blood, you know, and he died. You know, he did a great thing for God, don't misunderstand me, but you want to ask yourself a question, how does that match up with what Jesus said? My yoke is easy and my burden is light. And it set me thinking. When I first became a Christian, in my first year of a Christian, I was extremely zealous. And I haven't lost that zeal. I'm still very zealous. It's just that I, by the grace and the mercy of God, I have the wisdom of God to direct it properly. There's one scripture, I think it's in Ecclesiastes. It says that wisdom is profitable to direct. He said, otherwise, that same thing would be hard. And so I did all kinds of things, you know. I used to pick up, I was in England then, you know, I'd pick up drunk people and destitute people because they have them, they're still there. You know, in England, I see them on the road, you know, because Jesus said, you know, you should reach out to people. So I remember I'll pick a guy up, I'll put him in a cab because I had a little bit of money, you know. I'll take him to McDonald's, bring him out, feed him, then I'll witness to him, tell him about Jesus. I'll put a tract inside his hand, you know, and I was, but I couldn't sustain it. I was in school, I was a student. And when I couldn't do it, I would feel this guilt. And this, I know exactly what Jesus is talking about. Heavy laden. How am I going to do this? How am I felt the burden of the whole world on my shoulders. It took God's wisdom to bring me out of that. What I was doing wasn't wrong. It was an indication of a good heart, wanting to do the will of God, but I was not doing it with wisdom and in a way that was sustainable. There's no way I could sustain that. And I would have burnt out if I had continued like that. And that's the whole essence of this message. So I want to, by the help of the Holy Spirit, share with you what God really means. What is His yoke? What is His burden? And how do we operate in such a way that we will find the yoke easy and the burden light? If He said so, He's not a liar. So if He says His yoke is easy, His burden is light, it must be true. Secondly, it means that I have to be able to identify what that yoke is. I have to identify what the burden is and then how to carry it in such a way as to find the yoke easy and the burden light and become very, very effective for God. The Lord revealed this to me many years ago. In the book of Ecclesiastes, in the last verse, towards the last chapter 12, it says this. It says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. He had said a lot of things, you know. Then, you know, he was summarized. Let's hear the conclusion. What is it that God wants us to do? And he came to one conclusion. He said, fear God and keep his commandments. That's the yoke. That's the burden. Fear God and keep his commandments. Now, it's going to translate to a lot of other things in terms of actions and things that you do. All that will come later, as you will see in a minute. You know, but at the fundamental level, what is his yoke? It's to fear God. This is the whole duty of man. Now, the question is, what is his commandment? Number one. Then number two, how do I do it? And this is where what Jesus is teaching here becomes extremely important and instructive. And what he's saying is, I'm getting ahead of myself. His commandment, we're all well taught, I'm not going to go into detail about that, is commandment of life and love. So this is commandment, I should believe on the name of the Son Jesus Christ, and then love one another as he gave us commandment. The fear of God is honesty and the humility of heart. So he's saying to you and I, you will find the yoke easy and you will find the burden light if you will keep these commandments. If you fear God, if you receive his life in sufficient measure, if you will walk in love, all the other things you want to do or that need to be done, you're going to do it by the supernatural ability and power and wisdom that he gives. And when you do it that way, you will find the yoke easy and you will find the burden light. If you do it another way, you will find the same yoke to be very heavy, to be hard, and you will find the burden to be very, very heavy. So, in the book of Deuteronomy, look at chapter 30. It's amazing that God told Moses this way back then. And when you look at the history of Israel and all the kings and the leaders, very few people take heed to this. You find men trying to do the will of God in their own way. Before I read what I'm going to read, I'm just being reminded by the Holy Spirit, I remember the story of Joseph. Joseph is one of the best examples in the Bible. Daniel is a very good example too, but Daniel was a eunuch. Because, you know, the Babylonian kings were horrible. You know, they castrated all those young boys. So you can say, well, you know, it was a eunuch and he didn't have a normal life. And all he just did was just pray and serve the king, which was what the summary of Daniel's life. But Joseph was different. Joseph was not a eunuch. Joseph was a regular guy. In fact, the Bible says he was a goodly fellow. You know, and he married later on, you know, in Egypt. He had children. He lived what you would call a normal life. If you look at Joseph's life, Joseph exemplifies this thing. The yoke is easy, the burden is light. Joseph did the whole of the will of God that God wanted him to do. And he did it with relative ease. Even though he went to prison, even though he went through difficult times, even in the prison he was prospering. Why? Because Joseph learned the secret of what I'm about to read now. I preached this message many years ago on Joseph had no Bible. He had no Bible. He didn't have church. Joseph was alone. He wasn't with his family. By the time he was sold at 17, you know, he was a slave in a foreign land. He had no spiritual architecture, so to speak, around him. He didn't have a spiritual platform around him with which to operate. The only thing Joseph operated on was what his father told him. You know what Joseph did? He took the yoke and the burden. Fear God and keep his commandments, and he saw it through his life. And that's the secret I want to share with you and teach you this afternoon. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 11 through 14. We will read slowly. For this commandment, which I command thee this day, it is not hidden from you, neither is it far off. Verse 12, chapter 30. It is not in heaven that thou shouldest say, who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it? Neither is it beyond the sea, that thou shouldest say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it? Why is God using these metaphors? You know how difficult it is to go to heaven. If you were to try and go to you, we've been to the moon, you know, we're contemplating going to Mars, you know, it takes you 2 years to get there. And you can only leave at a particular time when the planets align. If you don't, you're just stuck there for another 2 years before the planets go round. You can imagine how difficult it is. So he was saying, this thing I've told you to do, you don't, let's say it simply, it is easy. It's not so hard that you have to go to heaven to go and get it. And it's not so hard that you have to go across the sea to go and get it. He says, if you would do it the way I'm telling you, you will find it easy. That's what he's saying. You see, our problem is we try and go to heaven. We try and go across the sea. And so then we find the yoke is hard and the burden is heavy. We got to do it the way he said. He said, but the word. Next verse 14. He said, but the word is very nigh unto thee. This is what saved Joseph. In thy and in thy that thou mayest. How did Joseph keep God's law? In fact, there was no law then. The Ten Commandments had not been written. They were there. They were in operation, but they had not been formalized. They had not been given to Moses. How was Joseph? He did that. He kept it in his mouth. He kept it in his heart. So when that woman was telling him, he said, how can I do this and sin against God? He said, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I will not sin against thee. That's what saved Joseph. You know, I often think of that. I meditate upon it. He was in a place of great demonic activity. Egypt was full of all kinds of gods. They practiced all kinds of curious arts and black magic. That is the same Egypt later on that Jannes and Jambres were, that turned their own sticks into serpents. That's the kind of environment Joseph was operating in. But he prevailed. Because he understood the easy yoke and the light burden. All Joseph did was he kept the word of God in his mouth and in his heart. And he saw him through how many years? He went 13 years to when he was 30. Then he went 14 years to when he was 44. The 7 years of famine and 7 years. And then from 44 to 110 years. Give the Lord a clap offering. If Joseph could do it, you can do it. Amen. Now, let me help you. When he says the word is very nigh thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it, he's telling you the secret of releasing divine power, divine wisdom, to get done all the other things you need to do. You see, a lot of the things we do, we're not doing it with divine wisdom. We're not doing it with divine power. So we're finding the yoke hard and we're finding the burden heavy. Most Christians omit this. They omit the heart, the mouth. They omit the heart. Then they jump to the do. I would say heart. Say mouth. Then do. Now, whenever you try and do without the heart and the mouth, the yoke is going to be very difficult. And the burden is going to be very heavy. Because the mouth and the heart release the power of God by the mercy and the grace of God. He doesn't say mercy and grace here directly, but it is there in the background. Because it is the mercy and the grace of God that release the life and the power of God that causes what is inside your heart and what comes out of your mouth to be powerful. It is the power and the wisdom that is released through the mouth that now makes every other thing you do to be easy. When that power is not released, or is not released in sufficient measure, you're going to find doing hard. You're going to find the burden hard. And that's why, and this thing is not only for confession, you know, we think of confession just speaking God's word. It cuts across everything we do. Even when you're praying in tongues, is it not heart and mouth? As the Spirit gives utterance. And they began to speak as the Spirit gives utterance. It's heart and mouth. Whether it's tongues, whether it's groaning, whether it's confession, whatever it is heart and mouth. Are you following me? Now, what happens is this. If you go to the... Switch it off. If you go to the do, and the heart and the mouth are not there, or put it this way, if the power from the heart and the mouth is not sufficient, the do is going to be very difficult. Now, why would the power from the heart and the mouth not be sufficient? You know why? This is my grace is sufficient. You can now understand. I used to wonder why Jesus said that thing. He said, he was looking at them. Come unto me. And looking down through the ages at you and I. And learn of me. Then he says, For means because I am what? Meek. That's the key right there. The meekness and the lowliness of heart. And notice they're not the same thing. Everybody say meekness. Then say lowly. Meekness means teachable. A person that was not stubborn. A person that will not cast instruction behind his back. You see, a lot of Christians are not teachable. They don't have a meek heart. You can't tell them anything. You tell them something, they just, you know. I like the way he says in Psalm 50. He says, they cast my words behind them. Just, I heard it, but they just, you know. Meekness means ability, a heart disposition that is teachable. That can sit down and say, okay, yes, I want to learn. I don't know it all. Then lowliness of heart deals with humility of heart. So these two things, meekness and lowliness of heart, give access to grace and mercy. That's why he said, learn of me. Come and learn my example. The kind of person I am, my heart disposition is meek and lowly. So I am getting grace. I am getting mercy in sufficient measure. And because I'm getting that grace and mercy in sufficient measure, my yoke, I find the yoke, which is fear God and keep his commandments, and all the other things God wants me to do, I find it easy and I find the burden light. I've used this illustration before. I will use it now. The distance between here and England has not changed. It's the same as it was in 1492. I picked that, you know, when Columbus was going around the earth. It hasn't changed. It's the same West African coast. It's the same Atlantic Ocean. In those days, to go from here to England used to take the boats sometimes 6 months. It got better and better, you know, over the years, after sometimes I taking 2 weeks. But initially, they hadn't even drawn the navigation channels. So they didn't even know. They were depending on sails. So it's when the wind blows, you know, that the boat will move. Then they will try and use a rudder and keep it close to the coast. Sometimes they would go off. Then they will have to come back. It could take you 3 months. Sometimes it could take 6 months to come from England to Nigeria. Those days it wasn't Nigeria. They call it the West Coast. It was such a hazardous journey then that most of the missionaries and people who left and came, sometimes once you go like that, they don't expect to see you again. You couldn't come back in 2 weeks. Think along with me, the problem has not changed. The only thing that has changed is knowledge and power. Today, you make the same trip in 6 hours eating. Relaxed. Watching television. Not only do you eat and relax, the pilots eat and relax. I've flown so many times on British Airways. Sometimes I'm so close to the pilot's cabin. You know, once the thing takes off and it hits the altitude, you see all the air hostesses taking food to go and meet the pilot. And you got the two pilots there, they're gisting and they're talking and there's something. They put the thing on autopilot and they're just watching the same thing. What's the difference? Watch this. Think. A plane would have flown as easily in 1500 as it flies today. The everything that they used to make the plane was inside the earth. We didn't go to outer space to go and bring. We didn't go to another plane to go and the things we're using to build the planes now and how we fly the plane. We didn't go to another plane to go and get. They have always been here. The only difference was that in 1500 we didn't even know we could fly. We didn't have the knowledge, we didn't have the understanding, we didn't have the power. We did not know that inside the earth was oil. And if you refine it, you make it kerosene. And the kerosene will fly a jet. So we were doing the thing and the yoke was... If somebody had told us then, that this thing you're doing, you can do it eating and sleeping. And it will take you 6 hours. They will not have believed. I bring you the word of the Lord. The things you are doing in your Christian life now, the yoke is easy. The burden is light. If you would do it with the wisdom and the power of God. And it is only to the lowly there is wisdom. Psalm 30 verse 5 says, in his favor there is life. Grace gives life from the inside through the blood of Jesus. Mercy gives life or power from the outside. If you have grace and mercy of God in sufficient measure, there is nothing you are doing that you will not find easy. Because God is not a liar. He said in another way in 1 John, he said his commandments are not grievous. I've discovered that, you know, I've been a pastor now for so many years. You know, people are trying to do the do without the heart and the mouth. Oh, you know, we want to go and help missionaries. We want to do this, we want to do that. You're going to do all of that. But if you do it with the mercy and the grace of God, the wisdom, the resources, the power, the strength to get all of those things will be given to you. Amen. And you will do it efficiently. Efficiently. I got to close. Thank you, Jesus. I wrote something here. As the Holy Spirit was ministering to me this morning, I'd almost forgotten. I came back and checked my notes. Do you remember when Jesus said, Peter came to him and said, how many times should I forgive my brother? And he thought he had tried. And he must have forgiven them about two or three times. He must have been the sons of thunder. You know, they were all friends. So he was, I'm sure at the back of his mind, he said, seven is okay. Yeah, okay. Lord, how many times should I forgive my brother? Seven times? He thought Jesus was going to pat him on the back and say, Peter, you tried. Seven times, okay. Jesus surprised him and said, 70 times, seven times. Now, how many people know that is grievous? Have you tried it? Somebody offends you, does the same thing, you know, grieves you. Three, four, five. That commandment to forgive your brother 70 times, seven times in one day ordinarily would be a grievous commandment. How many people know that? Let's be honest. But do you know you can do it with the mercy and the grace of God? And you will find the yoke easy and the burden light. I'm learning. I'm not perfect. I'm perfecting it. You know. Now when things happen, I just, at the thought level, I just say, Lord, have mercy. Have mercy on me. Have mercy on them. Don't wish to be grievous. It's easy. Because I'm not doing it now by my own might. So at the beginning of each day, of the many things I say, one of the things I, you know, I pray so many prayers. But, you know, one of the prayers I pray, I fear God. I walk in love. I keep the commandment of love. You know, I forgive my brethren with, you know, with my thoughts. I ask life for them. I say it. Then I say it with my mouth and I believe it in my heart. So the power to do it is released. So when it happens, with my thoughts, the power that's been released, I just say, Lord, have mercy on them. Have mercy on me. And it happens like that. And if I do it seven times a day, no problem. Because at the end of the day, it's not just me who's doing it. I, yet not I. But the grace of God that is with me. Is it me, yet not I. Mommy touched on it this morning. He says, the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself. It's me, but it's not me alone. It's God and I. Christ in you, the hope of glory. So so because I'm doing it in conjunction and in cooperation with Christ, and Christ has all power, there is nothing I'm going to do that's going to be heavy, that's too heavy for him to carry. Lord, you will. Closing. Christ liveth in me. Yet not I, but Christ is. It's me. But it is a transformed me. It is a me with the Christ life. It is no longer me. It is me with Christ in me. In my personal Bible reading, I was reading the other day, you know, and it struck me. Jesus was the one who actually said this. You know, Jesus healed somebody, you know, and Jesus told them, I am my Father and one, and the works you've seen, I'm going to do even greater works. Then they took up stones, and they wanted to stone him. He said, wait. Why are you stoning him? Why do you want to stone me? What good work have I done that makes you want to stone me? He said, no, not because of the good work, but because, watch this, you being a man, make yourself God for blasphemy. Jesus said, wearing is a marvelous thing. Does not your law, the Torah, in Psalm 82, call those people who are judges the gods? This Psalm 82 say, ye are gods. He said, then you say that I, because I said I am the Son of God, I'm blaspheming. When your own judges who receive the word of God are called gods, he said, judge righteous judgment. I'm God. I am not God in the sense of being there, but God is in me. Hallelujah. So he said, ye are gods. Amen. Let me ask a simple question. How many believe? It's a difficult question. You know, how many people believe that they are gods? Put your hand up. Ferran won't believe Aleni. If you believe, I didn't say you are God of heaven. I'm saying, how many believe that you are a God? Are you sure? Are you 100% sure? I'm going to get you now. Are you 100% sure you are gods? Keep your hand up. Keep your hand up. Many people don't know this, but go and do the word study. You will find that it's exactly the same word, Elohim. You see, in the New Testament, in the Old Testament, it says, in the beginning, Elohim created the heavens and the earth. When Jesus quoted Psalm 82, now Psalm 82, he says, ye are Elohim. You see, because Elohim is not one person. Original Elohim was Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Then Elohim made more Elohims. Hello, Elohim. But that's not the book. Keep the hand up. Keep the hand up. Elohim. 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 Is there anything too hard for Elohim? Then why are you saying the yoke is easier? The yoke is heavy and the burden is light. Put your hand down now. The only time the yoke is heavy, is hard, and the burden is heavy, is when you're not behaving like Elohim. I, yet not I, but Christ that liveth in me, Elohim. So I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. When Elohim is working on the inside, the yoke is easy, the burden is light. Did we get it? I'm going to close with this. Third closing. Thank you, darling. My wife is counting. So am I. See, this scripture has been so real to me in these last few months. And I'm actually, by the grace and the mercy of God, operating it. And I'm finding the yoke really easy. Ah! I said, God, we've just been suffering for nothing. I pray, oh, ask my wife. I pray 8-9 hours a day, averagely, sometimes more. Hey, many people, your prayer ends with good morning, Jesus. That's okay. It's a starting point, but it shouldn't end there. Are you listening to me? You know how I do it? By the mercy and the grace of God. The mercy and the grace of God does not mean inactivity. No, far from it. Now I want us to look at four things very quickly We looked at it during the Bible study. Look at Jude chapter 1 verse 21. Verse 20 and 21. You know, we read it contextually during the Bible study, you know, so that you don't, you know, become a tear. An apostate. Say, but ye, beloved. Let me say it again. But ye, Elohim. Check it. But ye, Elohim. Building up yourself. In other words, behave like an Elohim. Stop behaving like a natural man. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, doing what? Praying in the Holy Ghost. We went through in the Bible study. You have to have the foundation of God's word so that you have the life of God, which comes through honesty, humility of heart, all of those facts. You see, many of these scriptures, read them on the surface, but you have to go behind and see what the spiritual conditions are for you to be able to do that thing. Praying in the Holy Ghost. But look at the next thing. Keep yourselves in the what? Touch your neighbor, say, praying the Holy Ghost will keep you in the love of God. You know why? You know why? Because the love of God that is shed abroad inside your heart, through praying in the Spirit, moves from your spirit into your soul, into your body, into your circumstances, so that you actually walk in love. If you don't pray in the Spirit, you can't walk in love. That's why you hear this so often. I'm just a human being. I cannot take more than that. Have you heard that before?
Even God knows. Elenraraniwa is a common Yoruba statement. It means that God knows that we are of flesh. And so, you know, there is a limit to what I can. What? There's no such thing for Elohim. Because he's praying in the spirit. So because he's praying in the spirit, the love of God is inside the spirit. He doesn't shut up his bowels of compassion. He opens it. So when he prays in the spirit, the love will go from the spirit. It will go to the mind. It will go to the emotions. It will go to the physical body. It will go to the circumstances. Even the money you need to walk in love will be supplied by Elohim. Amen. You want to give now to the foundation. You say, Father, I want to give 10,000. I want to give 100,000. You know, the Elohim in you will supply it. Stop saying, I can't. It's not in the dictionary of Elohim. I can do all things, including giving. You know, don't limit it. It's limitless. There's a movie called Limitless. You need to see it. It just gives you a little bit of a picture of the ability of the mind of Christ. You know, men are imagining what can be. But we don't have imagination, we have reality. Are you listening to me? So you pray in the Holy Ghost. You keep you in the love of God. Now watch the next thing. Looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto what? Eternal life. So when I'm praying, my mind is active. Now, I don't know what I'm saying, the details of it. I know the general because of what I said in the understanding before as I pray in the spirit. And I know the word of God. But I keep seeing the invisible. I keep looking. And what am I looking for? Mercy. So I'm not just praying by myself. I'm praying. But there's mercy. So I might pray 10, 15 minutes. Something may happen. I may talk to somebody or have a phone call and all of that. I pick it. I do what I need to do. Then I go back. Mercy. Lord, have mercy. Help me. When I ask for mercy, I get three things simultaneously. I get the blood. I say the blood. I get the life. And I get the power. All in one sweep. Now I understand. I didn't understand. I used to read it before. I knew it mentally, but now I understand it by revelation as well as by experience, what Paul meant. Look at Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Then we'll look at three other scriptures and close. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. You know, it was this Paul, eh? Everybody give the Apostle Paul a clap offering. Hallelujah. I'm sure he's watching this service. I know anytime I'm preaching, Paul watches. Praise the Lord. Amen. You know, God, we're on the same level. We're on the same frequency. Praise the Lord. You know, so that guy's saying some nice things we're saying. We've been telling them. Okay. He says, I beseech you. He was begging. He had explained so many things about our salvation, the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus, Israel. You see Romans chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, like our spirit about the infirmities, 9, Israel, 10, Israel, 11, Israel. Then he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren. Watch this. Present your body a living sacrifice. He put that essential ingredient there. He says, by the mercies, plural. I understand it now. You see, this body, you cannot present it to without the mercy of God. The thing will rebel. That's what Paul meant. He went through that struggle. Then he learned this secret. You know, he said, I put under my body. I bring it into subjection. Lest after I have preached to others, I myself should be disapproved. He learned it. So when he was going to write this guy, he said, you can't do it by grow. You have to do it by the mercies of God. So when I want to do something or my body is up, I just say, Lord, have mercy on me. Help me. Then I pray. I preface many things now. I didn't used to do it. I knew the mercy of God generally, but I didn't used to say with that frequency and with that understanding and without faith, Lord, have mercy on me. Help me. Then I pray.
And you know what I find? The yoke is easy. The burden is light. Because it is not me who's doing it. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2. It says, as we have received, we have renounced the... No, verse 1, excuse me. Verse 1 is the one I wanted to say. But they go hand in hand. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, watch this. As we have received mercy, we do what? We faint not. So, it is the mercy that causes you not to faint. So, if you are feeling discouraged and you are feeling faint, just go back to God. Say, Lord, have mercy on me. Strengthen me. And then step out. Remember David at Ziklag? David at Ziklag. At Ziklag, they came all their, you know, men and everything, you know, and they were so discouraged. They said they cried until they had no more power to cry. They even wanted to stone David. David did this. He says, and David encouraged himself in the Lord. Then he inquired of God. The second thing about mercy is that it gives you to be faithful. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 25. It says, having received the mercy of the Lord to be faithful, watch the steps. This revelation knowledge I'm giving you now, you know, apostolic instruction. Watch it. It starts with mercy not to faint. Actually, it starts with mercy not to be destroyed. Then mercy not to faint. Then mercy to be faithful. You don't just jump from one to the other. It's sequential. I have mercy, I'm not destroyed. Then mercy not to be discouraged. Then mercy to be faithful. Faithfulness to be consistent. Then finally mercy to prevail. Romans chapter 9 verse 16. It is that this man, he got it. Paul got it. He got it. You know what he said? He said, it is not of him that runneth, nor of him that willeth, but of God that sheweth. He had learned from experience that what puts you over. My wife used to say something many years ago. Talk about finishing grace. You know what it is? Mercy. That's what mercy is. It will give you to finish and finish well. Watch it. You start with mercy, you continue with mercy, and you finish with mercy. Let us pray. Let's talk to God. Then you will find the yoke easy and the burden light. But if you start by yourself, and you know our problem, pride. That's why he said, come and learn of me. I am meek and lowly in heart. Let me paraphrase that. I have learned through humility to consistently ask for God's mercies. That's why I find the yoke easy and the burden light. Do you know that? One of the powerful scriptures says, in the days of his flesh, he offered up prayer and supplication. What with this? With strong crying and tears. And he was hurt in that he feared. What did the fear of the Lord bring? Mercy. You see, watch this. Because these things need to be balanced, you know. It's coming to me by the Spirit. He did not say there is no burden. He just says it's light. So it's not as if I'm not going to be doing anything. You're going to pray. You're going to do all these things. You're going to do it. But it will be light because of the mercy of God. So it's not that there is no burden. And it's not that there is no yoke. There is a burden. And there is a yoke to fear God and keep his commandments. But it has to be done by the mercy and the grace of God to make the yoke easy and the burden light. And then you will have rest. You know? So now, let me explain what I mean by it. My wife hit the other time about agitation. You know, you have a job to do. You know, maybe you are, like me, who is a pastor, for example. Okay, next week we're going to have service. I have to pray. You know, I have to prepare and all of that. You know, years ago, it's prayer. Now, wow. I do it too. But, you know, my mind is agitated. You know, I always get it done, you know, but it's with I see the same task and my mind is at peace. You know why? By experience, I have learned now that I'm going to get it done, but it's going to be by the mercy of God. So my mind is no longer agitated like it used to be. That's what it means for rest unto your soul. The mind is at peace. The will is at peace. The emotions are at peace. Talk to God. Stand to your feet. I don't know if I've helped anybody. I don't want you to leave this place today with a heavy burden. Go and face your challenges with the mercy and the grace of God, and you're going to overcome them. You will pray. Yeah, you will pray. Yeah, you will, you know, mouth, heart, do. But it will be by the mercy and the grace of God. And then you will see the wisdom to do things will come out. The mercy, the favor with men. Right place, right people, right time. You just find that all your planets are aligning. Things will just begin to work out. It's called all things work together for good. Because you are praying by the mercy of God. So the Holy Ghost will start rearranging, reconfigurating your heavenlies, reconfigurating your circumstances. The person that should be there will be there. Something happened recently. My wife and I, you know, we had some things, you know, in England. So my banker called me. He was the one who did it all, you know, and said, Mr. Johnson, next time you're in London, you know, please, you need to see me. There's something important I want to discuss with you and your wife and all of that. So, you know, I replied to my wife. I said, okay, let's make an appointment. So we did. So immediately we got in, we went to see her in her office. She was so nice to us. You know, she was telling us about, do you know you have this benefit? You can do this. You can go to the cinema and get this thing at cheap tickets, you know, because you have this kind of account with us. Blah, 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 blah. Then when she said all of that, we talked about the children, and because she's our friend, she's known us for years, you know, she said, okay, now there's this thing I want to do. I want you to do. It's going to give you a better rate, more money, blah, blah, blah. You know, and she told us all the things, you know, to do it. Then you know what she said to us? She said, God sent me to you. True story. She said it. You know, because every time she was talking, you know, my wife would say, by the grace and the mercy of God. By the grace and the mercy of God. You know, so, and she's an Indian. She's Indian, you know, she's not born again yet. But she's a nice person, you know. She's a Sikh, you know. So she now said, just like you said, God has sent me to you. True story. And God did send that to us. Gave us a far better rate than what we were doing before. Moved things, got things. And before we left, everything had been approved. I sat down jejele in Nigeria. I didn't before. I wasn't 40. I was not. What are we going to do? His yoke is easy. Rest unto your soul. That same thing. Some other people. Wahala. You know why? All my planets had aligned. All things worked together for good. So she got the person who was going to do it for us. She said, I've already seen the person. I've given them all the information. They're not going to give you any trouble. And they didn't give us one trouble. It's only God who does that. How many people want that? Mujeri. Makojami Olugbala. How many people want that? It's okay. Okay, how many people want that? Then turn to your neighbor. If your neighbor's hand is up, turn to him. Be meek and lowly in heart. End of story. You are the peace that guards my heart, my help in time of need. Hallelujah. You are the hope that leads me on and brings me to my knees. For here I find you waiting,
And here I find relief. So with all my heart I worship, and unto you I say,
you alone
deserve all glory. See your face. You alone deserve all glory. You alone deserve all praise.
Father, we love you
and we worship you this day. You are the peace. Sing it to him.
You are the peace
that guards my heart, my help in time of need. You are the hope. You are the hope that leads me on and brings me to my knees. For here I find you waiting, and here I find relief. So with all my heart I worship, and unto you I say.
Your hand on your heart, raise your other hand to God. It always comes back to the heart. Jesus told us a secret. He said, all you that are labor and are heavy laden, he's talking to us. We are the people who are groaning, who are laboring. We are the people who are speaking God's word. We are the people who are working for God. We are the people who are laboring. It's not sinners. He said, I want to teach you a secret. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. He said, I'll give you rest unto your soul. For I am meek and lowly in heart. Say, Father, we confess our sins, so we cling with the blood of Jesus from all unrighteousness. In Jesus' name we have life. Lord, have mercy on us as we pray. Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me this afternoon, reminding me that by mercy and grace, as I keep your commandments with my heart and with my mouth, I will find the yoke easy and I will find the burden light. Oh God, help me, help me, help me. Save me from myself. Save me from pride. Save me from arrogance. Save me from stubbornness. Help me to be meek. Help me to be lowly in heart so that I will receive sufficient grace and mercy to always find the yoke of anything I'm doing to be easy and the burden to be light. In Jesus' name. Ha ha. Lombria kashakiko fredes. Lombredelas. Mercy, Lord. Sheketolo mangodolo motala mashakiko to fredes. Lombrigitolo mashakiklamatolo mangakoklamatolo to fredes. Zefreda, Lombraga Clamatolomasha, Tolomatolo, Dombro Comashali, Yekoko Clamatolom to Frida Freshe, Lombraga Clamasofre, Tolomangar, Tolomasha, Lombraga Clamatolom Tolomatufrene, Estufrene, Zofrenea, Tufrening Toloma, Tufrening Tolomatufrede, Tolomatufrede Camatolo, Tolomash to Fre, Anstukesh, Jiki to Fredesk. In Jesus' name, John has somebody. I strongly recommend that you go and listen to this message over and over and over again. They will send it by the WhatsApp, so you can get the audio version, and the video version is already on YouTube. Go and listen to it again. Make sure you get it. It doesn't matter whether it's engineering, whether it's law, whether whatever you're doing, you will find the yoke easy and the burden light if you will put these things in place. The Lord bless you and keep you. Amen. The Lord make His face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up the light of His countenance upon you. The Lord God gives you peace. God makes you head and not tail, above only and not beneath. Everything you set your hand to is successful. You are at least 10 times better than your peers. You possess the gates of your enemies, even the gate of death. So you will live and you will not die. You will live and declare the glory of God in the land of the living. With long life will God satisfy you and show you His salvation, even the perfection of the fullness of Christ. So the Lord imparts unto you the knowledge of Enoch, Abraham, Joseph, Moses, Joshua, Ruth, David, Elisha, Daniel, Esther, Paul, and John. In Jesus' name, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit rest and abide with us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name. Church, I say, by the blessings of Joseph, a meek and a lowly heart, you will find in your life the yoke to be easy and all your burdens will be light. In Jesus' name. That thing goes to your job, it goes to your family, it goes to your career, everything.